WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your hosts.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch, and if you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. If you want to follow the channel, or if you just want to hang out and chat, you can do that with the little purple button as well. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
There will be no probing during the show.
We got Brent sucked twice last night. In-game.
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 In-game. In-game.
In-game.
In-game.
I like that our screen is Bray Wyatt because that's the only way I get to see him now.
You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lens Ward. You can go to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLF. She broke me already. It's been 2 minutes.
I don't get to see Bray anymore. It makes me sad. Like, he's just gone from my TV.
He's not gone.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, we know
yeah,
this
we
week.
We don't know what's going on there.
That's very, very true.
We're going to talk about some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Here in a minute.
We got NXT tonight. We got news, extended news segment. Because we have opinions that we need to discuss. So we're gonna break things down in detail. And Lindsay's going to give you her reasonings for some things. And I'll give you some reasonings as well. And... yeah, we got opinions.
So we're going to jump right into news brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Because like you said, we're doing an extended news segment. I'm going to start with AEW first, and then we're going to kind of work up to the big stuff.
Okay.
So first things first, All Out will be in Chicago on September 5th. So everybody look out for that.
Yep, tickets going on sale in a few weeks, I think. So
yep.
It's going to be at the same place it's always been, the Sears Center, which is no longer the Sears Center. It's some other name now.
It's still the Sears Center. If you've lived in Chicago for any amount of time, it's still the Sears Center. I promise you that.
Yeah, it just has a new owner.
It's like State Farm Arena. It will forever be Phillips Arena because that's what it was called originally. Mark Henry has signed with the company. He's going to be a coach and announcer, so that's a big pickup for them. Hopefully he can help them out with their big guys and sort of help coach them and get them into a better state because they don't really do nice things with their big guys, so this will help.
So a couple of things. It's a multi-year deal. He'll be an announcer for Rampage coming later this summer. He'll be on as a coach, training some, you know, helping out backstage. They call him coaches, not producers. It's the whole thing. I just love the whole Mark Henry signings with AEW thing because Vince didn't give him an office job.
Hey, look, the dude needs something to do. He found something to do.
I just like his expectation was Vince going to give me an office job once his contract ran out because he hasn't performed for WWE as an active performer in, what, a couple years now? 3 years? 4 years?
Something like that, yeah.
And he's been under contract the entire time. So his contract came up, I think, at the beginning of the year or end of last year. Whatever Raw Legends Night was, I think, right around there, probably. And he was expecting an office job, and Vince didn't use him in the office job, and, you know, he heard cuts were coming, so, hey, who's going to give me some money?
I was going to say, yeah, Mark, feel the room. Feel the room, dude.
That's what he did. He felt the room, like, okay, they're not going to hire me, so, hey, Tony, can I come? Big Show probably nominated him for the job. I was like, hey, here you go.
I mean, any experience that they can get is good. Like, you want to have those knowledgeable vets there that can help bring your talent along, especially since they have such a young roster. So it's a good thing that he's there and he can do a lot to help them out. So we'll see how he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he does well. There isn't some unfortunate news. Awesome Kong and Shayna have not had their contracts renewed, so they are officially gone from the company. Or will be gone very shortly from the company, depending on the state of the contract.
They're gone. They're removed from the roster over the weekend.
So that's unfortunate. And then, this one.
You know, so something happened.
So it's never a good thing to give anybody a live mic on a commercial break. And it's especially not a good thing if you're the person with the live mic to do anything problematic while you have it. Willie Urbina made some very tasteless comments and did a very tasteless impression on a commercial break
on the Spanish feed on Fight TV.
On the Spanish feed on Fight TV, in regards to Shida.
Hikaru Shida, yeah. The then AEW Women's Champion.
And somebody caught it and tweeted Tony Khan about it, and Willie Urbina has since been released from AEW, rightfully so.
Within less than 24 hours.
Within 24 hours, and Tony Khan personally apologized to Shida for it, and I believe personally apologized on behalf of the company about it. So,
and then Shida ripped him a new one on Twitter.
As she should.
If you like more AEW coverage, go to CBRioLive.com and listen to CBRio Not So Live, which was live this past Tuesday night.
Ding! It's very good insights. I made it up to the Britt Baker match before I had to go to bed, so it's very good insights. Go check it. So now we're going to get into the WWE news. So first things first, SummerSlam is announced for August 21st. We do not have a location as of yet, but you can put that one down in your calendars.
The location will be revealed on Saturday during the pre-show of, which race is it this week? Belmont?
Yeah, it's the Belmont Stakes, so they're going to announce it after that.
It's going to be during the pre-show, so it'll be announced during there, so someone will be there to announce it.
Yep. WWE has added 3 new members to its board of directors, including Steve Coonan. I mentioned the State Farm Arena earlier. He's in charge of that. Connor Schell and WWE president Nick Khan. They also hired some new upper management. The new EVP of Development and Digital is JB Horowitz.
He was formerly of ESPN fame. He's the one who brought us Embrace the Bait Culture. With the First Take, he then went to FS1. We're not going to talk about how he left there. Then he went to The Zone, and now he's with WWE. He's going to be the guy on top at WWE Studios and stuff like that.
Which should be interesting. Samara Shaw, she's going to be the General Counsel and Corporate Secretary. And then Matt Drew as the Senior Vice President of International.
So Nick Khan bringing more and more people.
Nick Khan swapping people, making moves. And before we get to the last one, let's do the blame Brett.
He's making $1 million moves. $1 million moves. Yeah.
Right. Something blame. Like that.
Something like that.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
I think this is kind of obvious. It's Sheamus. It's his face.
Broken nose.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He's not expected to miss any time.
He doesn't
he
want
will
to.
Not be,
He's not dropping the belt. He doesn't want to miss any time.
Yeah, so, but his face is pretty messed up from Monday night, so, ouch. And speaking of ouch, we hope you get better, Sheamus. Speaking of ouch, we need to talk about the big ouch that happened this week. So WWE, last week, they made cuts of corporate. They've been releasing people from their contract. This week was no exception. However, this cut was fairly deep in terms of the roster.
So let me give a backstory. So we were taping, going live with, See, we're not so live on Tuesday night, and I'm surfing Twitter as we're doing a show, and I see the report go, major releases possible on Wednesday. And we were like, wait, what?
Yeah, and the reaction is, who can they cut? Who else can they possibly cut? And it's like, well, they could go into NXT, they could go into UK if they needed to, but it's like the main like shows for Raw and SmackDown, they can't really cut a lot of other people off of those shows because they're going back out on the road. They're going to have a touring brand. They need to have a certain amount of people to be able to fulfill the touring brand if there's two. And we're going to get into that theory because they made some cuts on the main two shows. Not all of them were a surprise cut. Some people did ask for the release and they were let go. We don't know who those people are. We can hypothesize who they are based on the reactions, but not everybody was released for the sake of being released. So I'm just going to go in order. Buddy Murphy, Santana Garrett, Lana, Ruby Riott, Aleister Black, and Braun Strowman. Braun has been cited as having a really large contract. He was making $1 million+ a year, and that's supposedly the reason why they let him go.
All these are budget cuts.
Yeah, all this was cited as a quote-unquote budget cut, which that's what everything that they've been doing recently has been cited as is budget cuts, which I don't 100% believe because they are turning a profit. But what they're clearly trying to do is lean the company up. They're freeing up capital inside the company to do something with it, to reinvest it somewhere in the company, either for corporate or for other major talent, to renegotiate other major talent contracts. I don't really have an exact reason why they're doing what they're doing. There's a lot of rumors going around that WWE is potentially going up for sale. I don't buy that.
The stock market doesn't buy it either.
WWE is not necessarily going to interest anybody in terms of, well, I mean, it should interest people, but in terms of where it's at on a rating scale, it's not necessarily the best property that you want to buy. There's a lot of overhead with touring, with talent, with everything. So I don't think any companies are necessarily going to want to take it on as it is. They could be leaning it up to sell. That's an entire possibility, but I just don't think that's the case. I think they're leaning it up for the sake of leaning it up. There's a lot of stuff in corporate that is repetitive. And here's the thing. Nick Khan has come in. He's taking over WWE. He's been there since August,
yes. He's not even there a full year yet.
And he's basically looking at a company where they have done the same thing that they've always done for 20 years. And you've had leadership come in and turnover and that kind of thing, and they've continued to kind of like try to lean the company down, but it kind of bloats back up. Because back in 2007, 2010, somewhere in there, they did a really, really hard corporate cut, and they did a lot of really hard talent cuts. I remember that, whereas it was just like they just basically sent a lot of people out into the world, and in an attempt to lean the company up and make the company profitable. And that was when they were kind of starting to see a downturn. That's not the case here. But I think Nick Khan's looking at the company is like, there's a lot of stuff that we can change. There's a lot of stuff that we can clean up. There's a lot of stuff that we can tighten up. And basically what they've done, which is not necessarily the best decision in terms of the talent, is I think they're looking at the talent from a profitability margin, right? They're looking at how much money they have invested in someone, how many chances they've given someone to get over, and what their return on their investment is, going time frame of the contract that's left, or if the possibility that they're going to resign if they're, and they're going to want more money if they resign. So
the phrase is very analytical.
Yeah, it's a very, he's looking at it not from a people perspective. He's looking at it from a numbers perspective, which is not necessarily the best way to look at it, because everybody loves, you know, everybody that got released, right? Like everybody, especially like Ruby, was absolutely beloved.
Can I interject you for a second and talk to chat?
Mm-hmm.
Eva Marie and Ruby Riott's cases are two different things. One does not play into the other. Please do not make that a thing that is incorrect factual statements. Eva's been back since September of last year. So please do not tie the two together. Ruby being released and Eva being brought back are not the same thing. Also, and I'm going to put this out there now, when Brock Lesnar shows back up and everyone's complaining, you released Murphy and Aleister Black, but you signed Brock Lesnar? Yep, but they have nothing to do with each other. They did not free up money for Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is always a talent in WWE. All these releases have nothing to do with it. That is my opinion, and that is factual. Thank you.
And you brought up a good point when we were talking about this, because we were trying to make sense of it, is that WWE, as of last year,
year had 300 wrestlers under contract. Think about that. Think about that talent, guys. 300.
Now, majority of them, a lot of them are not in, you know, it's like they're in the PC or they're overseas or they're here, they're there, they're kind of everywhere. They're not all, like, all 300 of them are not on the right main roster. But if you looked at the main rosters of just Raw and SmackDown, and you went down the list and you looked at everything and you saw the amount of talent that's sitting there that's not getting used, but it's getting paid.
Here's a number for you, right? Last week's television, go through all the television they produce, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were 75 talents used across the brands out of 200 plus talents that are left under contract. A lot of it, a majority of that's developmental talent, that's stuff that people at the PC, but you have all that talent. So when you release people, you have to, you know, you can't hold 300 people hostage under a contract. I mean, hostage is a bad word. But yeah, you have to thin the herd a little bit. It's just kind of that thing where you have a very bloated roster because you were protecting yourselves from competition, which is why they became a very bloated roster. They were hiring people to protect themselves from talent. Should X, Y, and Z have been released? No, but it happens all the time.
I don't quite, like, I can kind of justify Ruby Riott speaking to LeMans's comments, because they really weren't going to do right by her. Let's all be real. They were not going to do right by her. They were not going to do right by Liv. They were not going to put the women's tag titles on them. They were not going to make Ruby any kind of women's champion at all. That's pretty much been set in stone since she hit the main roster. They had her be the leader of the Riott squad. They broke up the Riott squad. She got hurt, you know, and then she's just kind of been lost in the shuffle from there. Honestly, I think someone like Ruby, as talented as she is, as beloved as she is, can go to any other company in the U.S. or international and shine like a star. And I think she will be much better off in another company versus in on WWE TV. Aleister Black is a really weird case. And he's one of the ones that I just don't understand why they did it, because they had just started a new character. They were just pushing him. They had everything shot with Big E. They'd set up the angle. They were getting ready to go with him. And then just boom, it's just done. And I think nobody really understands why they did him beyond they just didn't see a profitability in him. But that's me completely projecting on that, because he went on Twitch and he addressed everything in terms of what happened. And you can go check that out on Thea's channel, because he went on there and he basically said, this is what happened, this is what's going on, and don't trust the dirt sheets because they're crap.
Can I give an example?
Hmm.
Let's talk about Braun Strowman. Okay. We brought up the reasoning is he has a bigger contract, and he may not have a big contract, you know. A million is a lot for the downside or whatever. And he signed it last year. Let's all be frank about Braun Strowman. I like Braun Strowman. You like Braun Strowman, right?
Yeah.
I think chat will agree they like Braun Strowman. But has Braun Strowman as a character peaked? I would say yes.
I would agree with that. I think Braun, unfortunately, due to his size, just does not have a lot of competition in WWE. They're kind of getting away from the really, really, what I would term big guys. Guys like Braun, right? Like, you have Omos and you have Braun, and they're the two giants. And maybe General Aziz with Apollo. But I think he's 6'8".
He's big. They're all big guys. You have big guys. And Braun's more like the big show guy.
But you look at the roster now, and the roster is, on average, smaller than what it was 10 years ago, let's say, or 20 years ago. So they're leaning more towards smaller guys because your big guys are now like 6'4", 6'5", somewhere in that range. And that's kind of where your main eventers are leaning, are in that height range. And then you have your monsters, you have your giants. You want those, but it's like, in terms of Braun for competition, it's great when you have guys like Brock and Bobby and people of those statures where they're big and they're muscular and they can go against Braun and they can just duke it out, right? But Braun against Rey Mysterio, for example, that's not super believable, especially if Rey Mysterio beats Braun Strowman, because in all reality, that should be the other way around.
Yeah, so
I know. Go ahead. I know it's David versus Goliath, but
You could do that with anyone. So,
yeah.
So looking at it from an analytical standpoint, you go, okay, we just signed Braun Strowman to a 5-year deal last year, so he's going to be in year 2 of his contract. Over the next 3 to 4 years, are we going to get a return on Braun Strowman? And this is when you're breaking it down analytically, and you're looking at it. Are we going to get enough return on Braun Strowman over those 5 years to make him worth the contract? And when you have to make cuts, those are decisions that you have to go through. And you go through it with every talent. Are you going to get return on investment? And you may with Braun. But I think as a character, and you've told the stories, and he's done a lot to improve and everything like that, but you've told enough stories with Braun, it's like, I'm not going to say Braun's a dime a dozen, but there are other big guys you can tell the same stories with at a cost-effective rate. And that's when you're releasing talent, is how people look at it.
Yeah.
People like Santana Garrett, who got stuck on the ladder, on the elevator, and really didn't get a chance. It sucks, but she can go to AEW, she can go to Impact, and she can be fine. Same with Ruby Riott. We love Ruby Riott. But as Lindsay said,
they weren't going to do right by her.
She's been pigeonholed on a level, a mid-card level in the women's division. She's good at it, she's a great wrestler, but they never given them the full chance to compete. So letting her out of her contract, she can go elsewhere and, in her prime, deliver the performances she couldn't in WWE. No one's resenting WWE for anything that's happened.
Well, Lana might be.
Yeah, but again, 4 years ago, Lana was a big head case in that company. There was a lot of heat, if we all remember that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
But I don't think Lana's going to resent the company because they paid her well. They've done everything right by her. They gave her as many opportunities as they could.
Lana's just unfortunate because Lana spent a lot of time trying to better herself, trying to become a better wrestler, because she really did want to become a better wrestler. So she's been down in Florida pretty much the entire pandemic, training with Natty and TJ at their place, attempting to become better. And she has become better.
Mm-hmm.
And they had her with Naomi, but I just don't think it was working with her because, and this is where I kind of want to transition to the next topic, because with Lana was always that case of they would never pull the trigger on her. And this is where I kind of struggle with some of the cuts, because I feel like, especially when you see comments like, well, you know, like Booker T said about Aleister Black, which was he didn't do enough to differentiate himself. That's not true. He had a very unique character in the cases of like Aleister and in Lana in certain instances, Ruby, and several of the others that got let go. The blame isn't entirely on them. Some of the blame for the reason why somebody does not get over has to come on to creative, and it has to come on to management and the control that they exercise over the talent. Because it's like, basically, it's all very scripted, it's all very controlled, it's all very contrived, and very few people actually have creative control over what they do. And even then, it's limited. Like, people talk about it's like The Fiend, why it's so different and it's creative and da 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 da, is because Bray Wyatt has input in what he does. We don't know how much, but he has input into how the character's presented, what he says, what he does, everything. Down to the look, the feel, all of it. He has that level of input in it that he can put that much time and investment in it and make it something. Other people on the roster, they don't necessarily get that level of input. Like, they can make small suggestions here and there, but I think ultimately the characters are incredibly controlled. Like, you're basically handed it and said, here you go. Although I think the Dark Father one for Aleister was his idea.
It was. He came out and said that.
And so, like, and it was interesting and it was different. And then they cut it for some reason. So it's like, I don't think it's all on the wrestlers. I think it's on, some of it falls on creative as well. It falls on management, because it's like, you can only do so much when you're handed something and told this is what it's going to be, and you get no input into it. Like, you can only do so much with that, right? Like, you really can.
But at the same point, if you are a talent and you do not like the direction you're headed, you have to believe in yourself enough to go up to the creative head and talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a two-way street. WWE creative and the talent is a two-way street. They have, both sides have to, you know, work together. If you just go ahead and you don't like what you're doing and you don't try and change it, then, you know, that's your fault at the same, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that, yeah, creative has to be better. I mean, yeah, we compare 9 Day to the NXT and the main roster. SmackDown's creatively is in a really good place right now. It's Raw that's, you know.
Raw has issues. Raw is just Raw. And it's, I don't want to say it's bad or it's terrible, because it's not. It's decent. The problem with Raw is the characters aren't necessarily engaging. Everybody is on the same level. There's no sizzle. There's no heat. There's no nothing. It's just very one note, very blah. There's no real story. Even though you have someone like Alexa on the show, that's really terribly engaging, right? And we're coming off of WrestleMania, and there's always a lull coming off of WrestleMania, but now we're heading into June, you know, two months out. And they're coming towards SummerSlam. They're going into Hell in a Cell, and there's just no oomph, right? Like, even Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, which will be a tremendously good match, they're going at Hell in a Cell. We don't know if they're going in the cell. There's just no oomph to that. There's no fire to that. There's no nothing. You have someone like Rhea, who should just be an absolute badass and rock star and should be presented as that, and they don't. That's not how she's presented it as all. It's just, here's a person, here's a guy, here's a girl, and this is who they are kind of thing. There's no fire. And I think as they're looking to make changes and they're looking to sort of modernize and reinvest the business, I have to wonder at some point if they aren't going to look at creative, especially if Raw's numbers are what they are. Because at some point, like, USA can give them a buy in certain instances, because Monday was not a good day for Monday Night Raw, but it was also a holiday. And there's the NBA Finals going on right now, or the NBA playoffs going on right now.
And the number wasn't as bad as originally reported. It actually grew throughout the entire show. So whatever they did worked for the amount of people. If it wasn't a holiday, that show probably would have done really good numbers.
Probably, yeah.
I want to make one point before you continue. It's not as easy to say, hey, we need to remove Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is not the only issue. And removing him won't change anything, because you have to change philosophy. You don't have to change the head. You have to change the philosophy. So everyone says, you know, we'll just get rid of Vince. It's not that easy, and it won't change a thing.
One of the issues that I feel, at least that I see from my perspective, is the same people that were running Monday Night Raw in 1996, 97, 98, 99, not that there was anything wrong with that period, are running Monday Night Raw in 2021, more or less.
One, Bischoff's not with the company, Ash.
Yeah, Bischoff's been gone for quite a while.
He's been gone since this November. Two, Triple H philosophy show is clearly different. Look at SmackDown. That is a Triple H show with the still Vince McMahon and management involved. So if you create the era philosophy, it works. You have to just have it spread everywhere.
Yeah, and it's something of...
And also, NXT still has a lot of problems too. Just,
yeah, NXT has their issues. Because Hunter... NXT, in my opinion, has actually kind of gone downhill a little bit, because Hunter is not as involved in that show. And you kind of have the same issue with Raw that you have with NXT, which is mine is... It's generational. I don't want to say people are too old, but we've seen this time and time again in every industry, right? In every job. At some point, you get stuck. You just stick in a time frame or a style or a philosophy, as Rock said, and that's it. That's where you end up. That's where you stop. And that's how you do things more or less for the rest of your life. That's what we're kind of seeing on Raw, is I feel like the people that are running the show are stuck in a specific mindset. And they don't want to change it. And so they look at stuff that's going on and it's like, well, we're going to book the show like we used to, right? Like, we've always done it. We have always done Raw this way.
Because if they don't like what they're seeing, they fall back to what they know.
Yes. And what's hard is you don't have the audience to gauge.
No.
And that's been the biggest challenge for everybody, is they do not have their audience to gauge. And I think truly, once we get the audiences back, a lot about these shows is going to change. A lot is going to get better, because they are going to be able to actively hear what is working, what's not working. Because they can gauge it on social, right? Engaging it on social is hard.
But you can't gauge anything on social, because everyone will just crap on something to crap on it on social, or praise it to just praise it, because they want to be with the crowd. Everyone praises AEW because you want to be in the it crowd. We love this show. Everyone wants to crap all over Raw because that's what the it crowd does. It's the trend. Raw sucks. Why?
Raw doesn't suck.
No, but why? No one ever has the why. Oh, it's same matches. But were the matches good? It's very easy to be a trend on Twitter, but not really matter.
Yeah. And the other part of it is, too, they're stuck in a holding pattern.
Oh, yeah.
They're waiting for specific people to be brought back until they have crowds again, because they do not want to do certain things, bring certain people in, bring certain people back, until they have that audience, until they can get that pop, because that's what they want, right? And that's what the talent ultimately deserves, is to have that live crowd back. But what it does is it does damage the product.
So
it does make the product, in certain instances, very difficult to watch.
So talking about the crowd, the man says, I know, I understand you say storylines are not the best. I agree. But when you question somebody on Twitter, they don't. It just raw sucks. Number two, the point was, here's how WWE got influenced by a crowd. Who are your WWE Women's Tag Team Champions?
Shayna and Nia. No, Natty and Tamina.
And why are they the Tag Team Champions? Because the crowd at WrestleMania cheered for Tamina.
We all want nice things for Tamina.
They listen to the crowd.
I mean, they could have given Tamina and Natty the titles at, like, you know, a pay-per-view, but they chose to do it on a SmackDown instead. But, you know, we'll take it.
But that's the point of listening. Listening and reacting. I've been saying it for a while. WWE has turned into a studio show, and that's not what they do. And the people at the head are used to live event booking, and they can give you the best matches you can get, but the story is, you listen to the reaction, and that's what you wait for. That's what Vince is waiting for. You can say, oh, it was a great match, but you don't know how really good the performance was, the story was. You don't hear it, and I've been saying it forever. You need this crowd back. And will it change overnight? No, but it will give them an idea of what to do. He will say, hey, we're going to throw this against the wall for a few weeks. Is it working? No. Now we can change it. Because you're getting the feedback.
Nia and Shayna were just exactly what they were meant to be. They were never meant to be anything more than what they are. And now they're going to have Shayna versus Alexa, which will be...
something.
Something. It'll be interesting. Because, yeah, going back to WrestleMania, who haven't we seen on TV in 2 months? Because the crowd had a really bad reaction to the fact that they had Bray Wyatt lose to Randy Orton again at WrestleMania.
You just had to wedge that point in there.
I just had to get that in there. I think, to kind of bring this back on the rails, because we sort of went down this really weird tangent, I think all the changes are not due to a sale. I think they're freeing up capital. I think they're freeing up budgets to do something, obviously. Whether it's reinvest in a corporate space, because they're going back into the building in July, and they maybe need to free up capital to get the building ready. They might be renovating Titan Towers if they're not going to sell it, because here's the thing. Here's the interesting bit. You don't know which building they're going back to, if it's the new one or the old one. As a cost-saving measure, they may not go into the new space. They may go back into Titan, and they may renovate Titan, and they may need to free up money to do that. So what are they going to do? They're going to cut everybody's budgets. They're going to cut contracts to renovate the corporate space so people can go back into corporate. Or it could be that they have to renovate the building that they're going into and make changes, and so they need the money for that. Companies do that. I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but that's one of the reasons why they could do that. They may be looking to invest in another service to help grow the business. They may be looking to invest it in talent, in a PC, because aren't they supposed to open one in Japan?
I think they're working towards that. They're creating capital, they're creating financial profitability to do other things, and they're looking to make what they own profitable, and which what they own is content and creating content, which is why they have the Peacock deal with the network. Razor Fist and every other mark on the internet's predicting it, but no one actually knows, because guess what? People with actual knowledge, Ash, people with actual knowledge of corporate business say no. Wrestling fan X, Y, and Z,
oh, they're selling the business, hey, look what they're doing. But if you actually go to the business people and look at the stocks, they're not.
Could an eventual sale of WWE happen?
In five, yes. In 3 to 4 years? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Here's the thing. Vince, it all comes down to Vince. It all comes down to what Vince wants to do with the company. He could sell it tomorrow and get rid of it if he really wanted to, but I just don't see Vince doing that. Like, I think Vince honestly tried to get away from WWE with the XFL, and that fell through. So he went back to wrestling, which is what he knows, and it's what he's done. And he's built WWE from the ground up for the last 30, 40 years of his life. He has given his life to this company, which is why everybody's like, why is he still involved when he's in his 70s? Because it's what he wants to do. This is his passion project. That's why he still goes to as many shows as he can. That's why he is so invested in the product, in the talent, in everything. This is Vince's passion. This is what he wants to do. This is what he's given his life to. He could have really easily said, you know what? I've made all the money I want to make. I'm a billionaire. I'm set. I can go to the Bahamas for the rest of my life. Y'all have fun. And leave. He could have done that 20 years ago when he beat WCW and bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And gone, you know what? I'm solid. Peace out, y'all.
All right. I'm going to throw this out the chat.
Wait, I'm not done.
You go back to your point because this takes some time. If you were in charge of cutting people, name me 5 people off that roster. You eliminate $5 million from that company. Give me 5 people you cut. All right, continue.
But he didn't do that.
No, he stayed and continued.
He stayed and he's continued to work on it and he has continued to do it for 30, 40 years of his life.
Monday Night Raw has been a TV show since 1993. WrestleMania was in 1984.
Do that math. Just think about that. And WWE was being created before WrestleMania ever started. So for Vince to sell, for Vince to get completely out and be like, you know what? I'm in my 70s. I'm tired. I want to retire, which I just don't ever see him saying.
No, he's a workaholic, a gymaholic.
They're going to find him at the wheel.
Yep.
He's that type of person.
Mm-hmm. When he finally rests, then that'll be the end.
Yeah. It would take an extraordinary deal to get him to sell that company. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it would have to be something that is comparable to what he's doing now and for a crap ton of money. Like, they'd have to wheel the truck up to Titan Towers or whatever building they're in and just start offloading, and he would tell them when.
So what it would have to be is to set up his family for the rest of their lives. Secure them in a position when he's done that the family is secure for the rest of their lives.
Which, let's all be real, they are. But,
but their family, his grandchildren, etc.
Yeah, on down the line, where the McMahon family never has to worry ever again about money. That it would have to be something like that. And I just don't foresee that happening. Like I said, it's not impossible. It could get announced tomorrow. Vince McMahon decides to sell WWE. I know he's had overtures. I know people have come to him and say, hey, Vince, what do you think about this? And he probably thought about it. And he was probably like, you know what? No, I'm good. Thanks. I'm just going to stay where I'm at, and I'm going to keep doing my thing and enjoying what I do. And Matt's exactly right. He loves it too much. It's his company. It's his baby. And I just don't ever see him selling it. And when Vince passes away, that is a completely different story, because what we don't know is who gets Vince's voting stock when he passes away. Does it get split between Shane and Stephanie and Linda? Does it go to just one of the kids? Does it go to both of the kids? How does that work? Who gets that? Because that's going to determine what happens to WWE after that. Who gets that majority control and what they do with it? Because I don't really see Stephanie selling WWE if she gets it. But I also don't see her wanting to necessarily run it on a day-in to day-out basis like what her father does. I think she's really happy with what she's doing. And it's just like Hunter. I think Hunter would love to get more control over the TV shows. And he may get that, but I don't see Hunter becoming the chairman of the board. I don't see him becoming the owner-operator of WWE, because I don't think he wants that stress in his life. It's not good for him anyway. It's aging him terribly. No offense, Hunter, but baby, you do not handle stress well.
Hold on. Vince and the company have been dumping stuff for stock for a decade. It's nothing new. Continue.
Vince dumping stock, it's not the voting stock, though. Like, if Vince starts dumping voting stock, that's when you know. Like, there's different classifications of stock, and it depends on what he's selling. Like, that's what you need to take a look at, because Hunter and Steph dumped a bunch of stock, too.
They've all dumped it over the years. Everyone has.
Well, it's like, in the last 24 months, WWE stock has been up and down, and at one point, WWE stock was doing really, really well, and they all sold. And they all made a shit ton of money off the sale, like you do. Because they're playing the market, right? Like, they're trying to set themselves up, and here's the thing, they can sell it high and buy it back low once it drops, and they can get it back. Like, that's what we don't know, is for all the stock that they're supposedly dumping, how much is getting bought back, and by whom, and in what quantities. So, dumping stock, I don't feel like, is necessarily an indication of a sale, because you actually want to hold on to as much stock as you can, because you can get more money for it. The more voting power you have in a company, especially at a sale, the more that they're going to have to pay you to buy you out, because that's how a sale works, is they buy the owners out, and so they have to compensate you at whatever the current stock price is, or at a negotiated rate to do the sale. The Peacock deal is them
getting their product out in front of a larger audience than what they had on the WWE Network, because the WWE Network wasn't showing any growth under the previous management. So the previous management was fired, Nick Khan, and was brought in to replace the previous management, and he brokered a deal to lease out their content for 5 years.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
The network was absolutely revolutionary at the time when they did it, and it was an extremely smart move, because pay-per-view was dying, but now everybody has an app. Discovery has an app. ESPN has an app. ABC, NBC, you know, the list goes on and on and on of people who have apps. And so it's not new, it's not different, and there's a lot of competition in the space. So it's, okay, how do we get eyeballs back on our product again, where we can ensure our own financial success? Because basically they put all their eggs in the network basket. They were relying on pay-per-view revenue, and then they're like, you know what, let's go down this road. Let's see if we can recoup our investment and put all of our pay-per-views on this one spot. They figured out a price and they figured out a number. And they hit both targets, but they weren't seeing any growth, like Rock said. So when you see growth stop, the next thing that's going to happen is potentially it's going to start to shrink. And before you get yourself in trouble where you're trying to play catch up, it's let's figure out a solution. And the solution was get it on a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
Get it on Peacock. Because NXT, I think, is on Hulu. NXT and maybe Main Event. But getting it on Peacock gets it in front of more eyeballs.
It gets the entire library in front of more eyeballs. It is when you log into Peacock, which, one, they added profiles now. Cool. Two, in the tab section, they're right up there. You click WWE, boom, there's all your content. And it's all right there. More and more stuff gets added weekly.
And they'll look at it in 5 years, and they'll see where Peacock is in 5 years. And it may be something that, hey, you know what, we're going to take it over to Netflix, or we're going to put it all on Hulu, or we're going to go with another service. Because that's kind of where stuff is headed, is it's moving away from traditional cable and onto streaming services. And for cord cutters, that kind of thing, it's a great option.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sucks for people that really like the network and want it back, and I'm terribly sorry for the people here in the States, but it's probably not coming back. But again, it's just Peacock was them making a move. It's them stopping a problem before it ever starts, because it takes that overhead and that pressure off of them to create stuff for the network for the States. They're now providing the content and the content only for Peacock. They're not having to actually necessarily create it unless it's like the docuseries or some of the other stuff that they've done.
Nothing's changed. It's just now in front of more eyeballs, and they're getting paid for their content instead of relying on us to pay them for the content.
Yeah. So I don't foresee a sale. I mean, it could be there, because I think even Nick Khan has come out and said Vince is not interested in selling, but you also don't want to tip your hand if that's what you're doing. They could be playing hard to get. I think they need to do a little bit more work on the company before they ever get it ready for a sale. Because, again, you need to do a lot more streamlining. You need to get the product in a TV sense in a really good place. where it's got those gangbuster numbers, because the other side of it too could be that they're looking to lean up the company to make it uber profitable. So, you know, when they go to renegotiate those all important TV deals, they look really good in front of the networks. That's part of this too. And it could be Nick Khan is just dragging WWE into the 21st century, where it's like I was saying before, we've done this for many years. This is how it's always worked. And this is how we're going to continue to do it. And Nick Khan kind of came in and was like, you know what? No, we're not doing this. No, we're going to do this my and Vince's way. And Nick got the go ahead to do whatever he needed to do to bring that company forward. And you've seen a lot of old WWE employees, long-standing WWE employees, I can speak, let go as a result. Or it's bringing in fresh perspectives, bringing in different perspectives, how to take WWE in a new direction. Because if you notice, you're seeing people come in from like ESPN, a lot of people coming in from ESPN.
ESPN in sports.
Yeah, so it's to take WWE from being sports entertainment to possibly in more of a sports direction, and how they can incorporate it more into the sports world to make it more legitimate than it's already become. Because the first step was taking it PG, getting legit sponsors, making it family friendly, which gets it in more households and gets more people attracted to it. And yes, I know we all hated that, but it worked because it built a whole new fan base for them. Now it's okay, that fan base has grown up. We can't take it back there again. So how do we move that forward? And they're looking at the trends and they're trying to figure out the next step on that. And that could be where they're freeing up the capital for, is to make that next move with the company as a whole. So, like I said, I don't see a sale. It could be. I don't see it. I mean, personally, I think they should just, you know, renovate Titan Towers. The other side, too, is with, like, the releases. Everybody that has been released that is still on good terms with WWE, because not all of them are, can get re-signed back at some point.
Brent made this point to us yesterday. Who is fighting for the WWE Championship right now? Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, both released from WWE. You can always, always find your way back.
Yeah. So it could be that they bring them back, they negotiate the contracts for less money, and they go from there. But for right now, it's we're cutting costs, which sucks, right? You never want to see anybody lose your job. And I'm not trying to say that any of this is justified, because it's really kind of not. It sucks. It really, really sucks. Because especially for someone like Ruby, who was really happy to be there, really proud to be there, this hurt her a lot. She released a statement out on Instagram earlier today, and it was just heartbreaking to read, because she really genuinely loved to be there. And she was very beloved by the locker room. Same thing with Alistair. Same thing with everybody that has been let go. You never want to see anybody get let go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just awful. It's a horrible experience to get fired from your job, because you go home and you sit there and you're like, what the hell do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really, and you panic and you don't know what to do. And then you have to just figure it out. All of them will be fine, but it's not a good experience. It's no fun.
I think we're about to go to break, right?
Yes.
I got some breaking news for everybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. Starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can go to ImpactWrestling.com, buy tickets to Slammiversary.
Hey!
They're bringing back fans. So it's a limited number of fans will be allowed at Skyway Studios in Nashville. So if you want to go to Slammiversary in Nashville at Skyway Studios, they're bringing in a limited number of fans. All ticket buyers, all of them, will get a t-shirt, a poster, a post-show commemorative photo of the ringside on the ramp with the exhibition title, a swatch of the mat used for the canvas at Slammiversary, an Impact branded swag. You'll get a couple of water, soda, drinks, candy, and Robert Irvine's something. Robert Irvine's Fit Crunch protein bars, courtesy of Robert Irvine and Gail Kim.
Product placement.
So you can get all of that. Tickets will be available tomorrow at ImpactWrestling.com for more details. So the event is on July 17th, as we mentioned before, but tickets will be available tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Limited number of tickets only. So that's great, because there were questions early in the week about will they or won't they? They will. So that's good news. That just came in my email 2 minutes ago.
That is fantastic news.
Mm-hmm.
And good on them. And the return of the fans will hopefully improve products all the way around. And honestly, I can't wait for it. And hopefully everybody's very excited.
So that week of the July, whatever, 13th, 14th, 15th, whatever, that whole week, AEW's bring back fans, MLW's bring back fans, Ring of Honor is bring back fans, and WWE's bring back fans. Fans are back in buildings. That's cool. But we've been doing this for an hour. We should go to break.
We should go to break. So when we come back, we are talking all about NXT. And we'll have Tweet of the Week, all your favorites. It's The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll see you in a minute.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio. Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f*** moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe. It is really that simple. And if you'd like to follow the channel, you can hit that button too. Or if you'd like to just hang out in chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we're going to do a little Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
True story. When I heard Jimmy Smith was the new announcer, I said to myself, why are they having the NYPD blue guy call WWE Raw? Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of the actor, Jimmy Smith. Corey Grace responds, he solved a murder as soon as we got off the air. So, you know, like you do. Paul, a.k.a. Action Jackson. What just happened to all the internet? Genicles. My bad. Frowny face. Frosty. This D, good as hell. Courage JD. You talking about the game or... ? I mean... And then Frosty responds, what game?
You mentioned Ann Paul.
Ann Paul, yes.
He lost it. You said he lost his internet.
He did. For most of the day.
For most of the day, he was having issues to say the least. He goes, my cell phone is back, but my home internet is still out. Guess I'm on my lawn. So I had to drive away from my house just to send this tweet. I don't know how this is possible, but the cell tower by my house is down for data, and so is the Vios to my house. Am I being targeted at Verizon? I think it follows it up. Just sitting in the hotel parking lot like a psychopath. No big deal. Go hour 11 without internet. I've made it back to the hotel parking lot, low on gas, running out of snacks, but the lawn is mowed. I asked my Siri to turn off the lights before I left the house. She didn't respond. Crying face. Pain. Still no internet. Back to my house. Dead zone. I go. Should I die before I wake? I pray to the Lord my soul to take. And should I wake before my internet is back? I pray for the Verizon rep with whom I shall chat. Internet is back. The sun is shining and the birds are chirping, at least on this Netflix show I'm watching. Syracuse is cloudy and rainy as usual. Praise be. So at least he has internet back.
That's good.
That's a positive.
Although your cell phone being down kind of sucks, especially if it's your like only method of communication. That's a little awkward.
So, Matt Cardona has a wrestling figure podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea Green replied to one of their posts. Remember when dude ate your toy? So I googled Mankind Jack specific.
Oh no.
He goes, Matt Cardona goes, holy fuck, do not say that publicly. The company is named Jack specific, not Jack specific.
She tried.
Yeah, the dude is their dog, ate one of his toys, while she was doing an interview. Art O'Cal, congratulations to the Buffalo Sabres who have not only won the first overall pick in the NHL draft, but now also have more victories this season than the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hockey jokes. Yeah. Sir Rothstein, gutted for the incredible talents released by WWE, but I know they were going to find tons of work in the vibrant wrestling business of 2021. The only person who was busier in the near future is the poor video editor who has to keep remaking our Slammiversary trailer.
Oh.
I mean, they do throw in all of them. And finally, CJ Perry, aka Lana. I like to choose today for no reason to congratulate my husband, at To Be Miro, on becoming AEW TNT champion. Miro. I was going to say it was a little weird you never mentioned it. I wear the title to bed.
On this. Today.
Okay. All days. NXT.
No particular reason whatsoever.
Nope.
By the way, if she doesn't turn up in AEW, I will be very shocked. Because, I mean, that's kind of a slam dunk, right? Like, he's there. She would just sort of show up, maybe.
Maybe.
Anybody? Bueller?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't watch the AEW that much, so I couldn't tell you. But it just seems like that would be a natural foregone conclusion that she would go work in the same company as him.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. Anyway, Tweet of the Week. Or not Tweet of the Week. NXT!
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, number one contenders match. Go.
My ovaries hurt. This was so good. I would like this again where it actually has a finish, please. But before we actually really talk about the match, y'all kids need to be kinder to your Uncle William. Like, y'all don't need to be giving him that kind of stress because he doesn't respond well to it. He will take you out. Like, Hunter's just gonna come down there and he's gonna be like five kids short. And then he's gonna have to look at William and be like, what the hell happened? And William's just gonna be like, I had my reasons. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But we need five more.
So the match is humming along really good. And then out of nowhere, Adam Cole, baby.
This was stress, reason for stress number one.
Showed up and attacked all three men, mainly focusing on Kyle, but laid into both of Johnny and Peter as well.
Setting up things for the future.
And then he would hit both Kyle and Johnny with the final shots, and William Regal comes up with security. He's like, I'm going. And then gives Kyle one more super kick, and I'm going.
I love that little touch. Like, Kyle's getting back up, and Adam's like, yeah, no, boop.
So, as all this going, he's throwing a temper tantrum, and Regal's screaming, and yada yada. Ember Moon just casually walks by out to the ring. And she's like, I want Raquel Gonzalez now. She shows up before she can attack. Dakota attacks. And they left Ember laying. It's a chaos night on the show.
Did not need this that night. He just really, really didn't need Adam showing up and being a prick. Although, we've missed Adam. It's been a minute since he's been on the show. I liked that he came and interrupted all of that, you know. And then, you know, he kind of caused trouble later, and he kind of pissed off somebody later, too.
He was on a roll Tuesday night.
We'll
get to that in a second. We were showing footage from earlier today. More chaos. Everrise and Drake Maverick were having, you know, a conversation, and out came the Hit Row, and they were verbally attacking him, and Killian Dane got involved, and, you know, things are brewing there.
I'm excited to see where that goes.
LA Knight took on Jake Atlas because that's where this whole thing all started, I guess, with things.
I'm going to be real. I didn't so much pay as much attention to this match as I should have because I was just sitting there waiting for Cameron to do something ridiculously stupid.
So Ted DiBiase showed up. And then Cameron Grimes showed up.
And they had a good conversation.
They were having a conversation, and that led to Jake Atlas getting the win. Ted was not happy with the performance of LA Knight losing.
No, he wasn't. He and Cameron was, you know, chatting up Ted, I think trying to convince Ted, hey, I'm your boy. You know, I've already got the money. We can work on the polishing, but I'm your guy. I'm your boy. Look at him. Look, he just lost.
Mm-hmm.
You want a loser?
Right. So, we'll get more into that in a second. So, Johnny and Pete and Kyle are being checked up on, and Owen Lorcan's like, only reason we've done this isn't because Adam Cole, and Austin Theory got mad and said Johnny would have beat him, and Owen Lorcan and Austin Theory got into a pull-apart brawl.
That's like the most fired up I've seen Austin in quite some time, and I was here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, Austin being the good child, the good son, and, you know, defending his father's honor, basically. And it continued on Twitter. Like, they screamed at each other on Twitter. And I think they're actually going to have a match. Like, I think they're going to fight each
next
other
week,
next
on,
week.
On, yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, that escalated quickly.
So, Mackenzie was asking Ted who he thinks deserves the legacy of the Million Dollar Man. Before he could do anything, Adam Cole just walked by.
And ready to start more trouble.
He's off in the ring, ranting about who being the real number one contender. He's watched everyone for 2 months and live up to his legacy, and everyone's failed. And he took out the top three guys, so he wants Karrion Kross. He says people see him as a monster, but he's an overrated musclehead who doesn't deserve to be in the ring with someone like me, Adam Cole.
And, of course, you know, Karrion is just not going to take that. Mm-hmm. So he and a very cute-looking Scarlett march their way to the ring. It is in this moment that, once again, you forget how thick and big, take that as what you will, Karrion Kross is. Because when you stand him next to Adam Cole, it's like, oh God.
It's night and day.
It's night and day. And that's not an insult to Adam Cole. It's just, you look at Karrion Kross, especially when he's generally standing next to Scarlett, and of course, there's a size difference because she's a very petite woman, even though she's not that short. I think she's average height. I think she's like 5'5", 5'6". It's hard to tell in the heels. Anyway, so you have that context, but when you stand him next to another man, especially somebody like Adam Cole, who's on the leaner side, and he's shorter than Karrion.
She's 5'5".
Okay, so she's 5'5". Karrion's got to be at least 6'2", 6'3", somewhere in there. But you stand him next to someone like Adam, who's smaller and leaner, and it's like, holy crap. Because I had this exact same moment, at least for me, with Finn, where you just forget about the size difference of some of these guys sometimes, and then you see it again, and you're like, right.
Karrion 6'4", Cole 6", according
there
to
you go.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, because he just towers over Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he made Adam Cole look small.
including calling him a little man. And he understands why Cole wants the title. He said once he signed NXT, Cole stopped being special. Cross told Cole to humor him. Cole said he was happy to him that Cross is Mr. Overrated. Cole said Cross will not be Adam Cole, baby, and will never be. Cole said that Cross gets the star treatment with all the lights, the camera, the entrance, the girl. All they do for me is ring the bell. Cross is not special. Adam Cole is special.
Y'all, just take your dicks out. It would be easier, okay?
Adam Cole says Cross is a man who has Cole's property. This brought out an angry William Regal, and he sees what Adam Cole's doing. Cross told Regal to shut up, and this is not about what everyone else wants. It's what Cross wants. And Cross says he wants everyone. Gargano, Dunn, O'Reilly, and the gas station weasel, Adam Cole. And Regal's like, okay.
Smiles, and he's like, okay. Yes, yeah, good. Okay. Kill Adam Cole.
Go ahead.
And then go off, sir.
Adam Cole started ranting and then left and threw water bottle at him.
So I just have this to say. Somebody's going to die when this all goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who, but Karrion is just going to rip into at least one person, if not multiple people. Because he's just like, you know what? We're just going to settle this. Give me everybody. Now this is an interesting proposition. Because this is a huge gamble on Karrion's part, because now Karrion does not have to be pinned to lose that title.
Mm-mm.
So somebody could get extremely lucky in this match and get the NXT championship off of Karrion Kross, which would be an interesting proposition, because then Karrion's got to chase and he's got to get it back.
We'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. But this was great. This was all.
Adam Cole was great. Karrion was
God,
really,
he's such a fantastic asshole.
Karrion was really good. So Mackenzie's backstage. She's interviewing Candace and Indy, and she brings up some topics. And also mentioned Poppy's going to be here next week. And
Artist in residence, Poppy.
Candace was not happy about it. So there'll be, you know, issues there next week. And then she tries to go talk to Indy, but Indy's wearing, you know, headphones, listening to 80s power ballads.
Like you do. She's very forlorn because she's still upset that Dexter's heartbroken.
So let's skip to later.
Well, Candace is like, okay, we're just going to stop this right now. We're just going to take these off and we're going to leave. And she leaves Indy's phone and the headphones sitting on
just
a crate.
Just the headphones?
No, she left the phone.
Did she?
Yeah. She left Indy's phone sitting there.
Okay. And then Dexter showed back up and started listening.
He picks up the headphones, and more importantly, he picked up Indy Hartwell's phone and he walked off with it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about this, but Dexter Lumis now has Indy's phone. Or assumed to be her phone. It's a little confusing.
The TV phone.
The TV phone.
Kushida had an open challenge for the Cruiserweight title against Carmelo Hayes.
It was a good match. It was a really good match.
It was fine.
They both showed respect to each other at the end.
They did. So they're trying to make this new Cruiserweight. So they brought in a young guy, okay? You had The Way taking on Zoe Stark and Zada Ramir. Saw a match. The Way got the win.
It was good, yeah. It was very entertaining.
Mercedes challenged Xylee to a match at TakeOver. There you go.
We're just going right for it on that. We're not even gonna. It's just like, you know what? Okay, you're gonna mark me and be all creepy. Fine, let's fight.
Ember challenged Gonzalez for a title match, and she gets it at TakeOver. But she's challenging Dakota next week.
I'm here for all of this.
And then your main event was MSK defending against Legado del Fantasma, with MSK retaining their titles. Bronson Reed then body pressed Escobar into the plexiglass.
Has anybody checked on Escobar? Is he like okay? Because I'm pretty sure he got squished. Like Bronson just like flat Stanley'd him into the plexiglass. Like there was just no, and like you see Bronson back up, and it was one of the best sells I've seen of that. Because Santos just flops to the floor. Like, just straight flops to the floor. Like a fish. It was fantastic. But I liked this match. I thought it was really good. It's continuing the feud between the six. So, let's go. Anything to make Legado del Fantasma legitimate again. Not that they weren't, like, illegitimate, but they had kind of fallen off a few paces. Because I like the group. I think the group's actually really good. They just had kind of stagnated a little bit, so this helps to breathe new life into them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the show.
A very solid NXT. Very much looking forward to next week. Happy Adam Cole is back.
And it's the go-home next week to TakeOver, I believe.
Yeah. Ding! Which means we're going to be previewing TakeOver next week! So you don't want to miss that. but you guys have to plug away because we're done.
Have you checked out Zero Not So Live? It's available now at ZeroLive.com, where we break down Double or Nothing. We'll be live Saturday night for Zero Live, midnight-ish. Before that, it's Fortnite with Friends. Watch Brent get probed. Live. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview In Your House. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Rec Radio Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. What, you don't want to see him get probed by aliens?
It happened twice.
No Fortnite tonight. We've discussed this. We're on a break for Thursdays.
It's just us sticking around in Fortnite. It's not really very entertaining at all. So we're going to wait for the new season, because the new season launches next Tuesday. So stay tuned to the Twitters for stream information, because I'll be streaming the new season. Rock will probably be doing stuff with the new season. So check that out when it's available.
You said new season, right?
I did.
What can they do for the new season?
Well, you know, they can use creator code RockinSock or creator code Lindsay Ward in the item shop when the new battle pass drops. They could do that. That would be awesome.
Because we're hashtag epic partners.
Ding! Oh, and if you want to...
Hold on. I got one more plug.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just used to going after that now.
I know, but you talked about a thing and... Anyway. If you have Amazon Prime, like your Twitch channel, it's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen.
Hey, and to get all my stream information or just read my stupid tweets on Twitter, you can follow me at Linsward, LNSWRD. And, you know, speaking of checking out things, following things, all that good, happy stuff, check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.